Welcome to Resounds, Arts and Culture on the High Plains. I'm Corby Skinner.
And I'm Jennifer Corning, and we're sharing stories of creative people who live and work in the Intermountain West. So, you want to look like a cowboy? Maybe you work cows or possibly just like the style. That's okay. First thing you need is a Western hat. Sounds simple? Let us introduce you to Darren James Hackey, a Billings hatter who can tell us the particulars of the crease, brim, crown, felt, and etiquette that involve a Western cowboy hat.
Darren Hackey, welcome to Resounds.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm certainly no cowboy, but I have been known to sport a pair of cowboy boots and an occasional Stetson. Making hats is kind of an interesting business, and it's a little unusual for Arts and Culture on the High Plains, our radio show, but I love the idea of the art of hat making. You have a business downtown. Tell us a little bit about starting D. James in downtown Billings, your hat shop.
Well, I was born and raised in Billings, Montana, and like you, I'm not a traditional cowboy. I call myself a sidewalk cowboy. But after I graduated high school from Billings West, I moved kind of all over the country, and I actually ended up becoming a physical therapist. And my first job that I took was in San Antonio, Texas. And although I was born and raised in Billings, I fell in love with the hat when I lived in Texas. And so when we moved back in 2016, I was practicing PT at Billings Clinic and also simultaneously dreaming about hats. And from there, I decided, you know what, I'm going to learn how to do this because I can't afford it. And so I'm going to learn how to do this myself. And I was lucky enough to apprentice with two different master hatters who, between the two of them, they'd been doing it for 90 plus years combined. And it just kind of took off. And so we were by appointment only for about a year and a half, and then we opened our store in downtown Billings 3 years ago. So that's kind of how it all came about.
I love the term sidewalk cowboy. I think I'm a barroom cowboy.
Barroom cowboy. I like those
I would only wear my hat to rodeos and to late night dancing.
Uh-huh. Yeah. No.
But a good hat is the mark of a great cowboy dancer, rodeo man. Hats are so important.
They're so, you got to dot the I. You can't leave the I undotted.
Like most endeavors, though, it's a lot more involved than you would think, especially when you think of these are handmade hats.
Mm-hmm.
What's the process of getting a hat made?
Yeah, well, you're so right about that. And had I known everything that it would take to make these hats, I may not have gotten into it, but being a little naive was helpful. And so, yeah, we start with a what you call a hat body. It's a general hat-shaped felt, and we pretty much exclusively use 100% pure beaver, which is the gold standard for Western hats. It's not leather. It's not leather. It's fur that has gone through the felting process. And so going through the felting process, it becomes one of the most durable fabrics, if you can use that word, fabrics, where most apparel is stitched with fibers, you know, or that are parallel or perpendicular. These are basically interlocking hair fibers that create a very, very durable hat. So we start with a hat body that looks like a very big, ridiculous crown and a big, long, long brim. And we have over 150 different antique hat molds that are just domes. And based on the client's head size and shape, we pick one of those, steam the heck out of the felt, and press it down on that block until it's nice and firm against the block. That's then going to get ironed over the block, and then the brim gets ironed completely flat. And every hat, whether it's a fedora or a bowler or a giant 10-gallon hat, starts as a dome with a flat brim.
Your store is so fascinating because when you walk in, there's this like back wall that looks like it came from a bar, but on it are all these wooden head structures. Those are all the molds. Is
correct.
That correct?
Correct. And we use every single one of them. Depending on the style of the hat and the client's head shape, head size, and their face shape, we choose the block that is best for that person. So it really is. I mean, it's both a science and an art. And so you have to take objective measurements, but you also have all those subjective measurements looking at somebody and deciding what style is going to be best for them, what shape.
I think that's interesting. I'm maybe 5 foot 10 and a half, but I have large hat size,
yeah.
7 3/4.
You are? Yeah.
And I have a very good friend that's 6'4", and he has a tiny head.
Isn't that funny?
Let's not get into that.
Let's not. Yeah, let's not.
But
we can go all sorts of directions.
Everyone's head is a different shape.
It is.
And it's not only the size of the head, but it's also, some are more oval, some are more round. So once someone picks out a hat, then you work with them?
100%. I think that's the greatest benefit to having a custom hat made is, you know, if you buy one off the rack, you're just stuck to whatever block that hat was made with. We can do in between sizes, and then we take into account that head shape and we actually cut out, we can do a wood, or every order comes with a dense foam mold that's literally the shape of your head that we use towards the end of the process to get it to be custom fit into the hat. So it should fit like a puzzle piece. You know, you can't take a cowboy hat and flip it backwards and have it still fit. It really needs to fit. Every little bump in your head and has to come down like a puzzle piece.
So I'm interested, who's the clientele?
Everybody. It's everybody. The cool thing about Billings, you know, we are a blue collar town. We have legit ranchers that are using this as a tool. And so we get guys that come in that they just need a high quality, high performing product that's going to last them 8 to 10 years working on a ranch and then we have rock stars and country stars that we've been lucky enough to make hats for, lawyers, doctors, you name it. It's anybody who appreciates a really nice hat. Those are the folks that we get to see and work with.
I'll tell you a funny story. Jennifer and I were both models in our early days for Montana Silversmith.
Yeah.
And we were doing these photo shoots, and Kent Williams, who owned the company, came out and he was sort of watching it. And he looked at both of us and said, "Where'd you get those hats?" And of course, we got them at secondhand stores, and we thought we looked great. He said, "I can't have you wearing my jewelry with those hats." So we got Rich Rand involved.
Yeah, there you go.
And I ended up loving my hat so much, I thought, okay, I'm buying this hat.
Yeah. Rich is one of the all-time greats. He's one of the guys that I actually learned from. You can't let the hat wear you, you know.
That's a nice term.
You have to wear the hat. If it's wearing you, people can tell.
So it seems cowboy culture is really taking off in Montana. I haven't watched all the episodes of 1889 or 1984 or Yellowstone or whatever those all are, but oh my gosh, they are so popular.
They are.
Do you get people coming in because they love that Western look that are normally not your hat buyers?
Yes, absolutely. We have people coming in. I can't tell you how many times they give us a picture, you know, of one of the characters from 1883 or 1923 and say, "I want this exact hat." And as long as we have a picture, I mean, we can recreate that hat. So yes. I think that it's Western wear in general is really popular once again. And we have Yellowstone and all of those shows to thank in part for that.
If you go through old historic photographs from the 1800s, cowboys used to wear everything. There were Mexican sombreros. There were sort of citified bowler hats. Mm-hmm. When you see old pictures, it was a much broader scope of kinds of hats. Where did the, quote, Western style cowboy hat come from?
Well, it's attributed to John B. Stetson, who developed the cowboy hat, who moved from the East Coast to the West, I believe because of tuberculosis. It was recommended to him that he needed to get to a different climate. And so he came and he wanted to create a better looking hat than the ones that, you know, the raccoon hats that they were wearing or whatever else. And he was the one that developed the cowboy hat. So the story goes that John B. Stetson is responsible for that.
Jennifer and I were in Sheridan. We went to King's Saddlery and saw all the incredible saddles that were developed specifically and the style. What is the style of the Stetson hat? I guess the most popular one, Boss of the Plains, is that correct?
That was a really popular hat for a while. You know, just like anything, there's trends. You know, the open road was LBJ's, you know, his hat. You have the Homburg and the bowler, which, you know, was really popular, especially in Europe. So it changes and it evolves over time. And now we're seeing, you know, with Yellowstone and all of those things, I see people going away from some of those more traditional fedoras and really embracing more curve, more cowboy. And so it's, yeah. Did I answer your question there?
It only brings up more questions for me. I think of hats, and I've always loved, you know, my background's in art and sculpture, so I love the curve and the shape. But then I think about, like, Mounties, and they had that really stiff, formal, flat sort of hat that looks like army clothes.
Yeah, yeah.
Does the cowboy have, I don't know, is the style of a cowboy hat with a lot more curve and color to it?
Well, so I would say that function comes in first and foremost. You know, the cowboy hat was designed first and foremost for function. And then as a lot of the original creases were created by accident because they all were open crowns and they would just grab them to take them off. And then they started to look like something.
From where they would actually grab it.
And then creases were invented. Oh, that looks cool on that guy. I kind of want to do this with mine. So they really evolved first. It was function first and then style came second.
Mm-hmm.
Now I don't know which one comes first or second, but function has historically always been the driving.
And certainly if you're a cowboy out on the range for 12 hours, you need a hat that has both comfort, shade. Tell us about that brim. Is that something to do with air and circulation or?
So definitely sun coverage. Also if it's wet and snowy, rainy, generally speaking, the front of the brim and the back of the brim would be sloped downward for drainage, so the water's not sitting on the hat. I don't know if I said this, but with the 100% beaver, that's the other function of is that beaver live in water, and their fur contains a natural oil that repels water. It makes it an optimal fur to use for a felt hat. So, the brim is important mostly for blocking the sun and preventing all the nefarious effects of
the world
extreme
around
sun.
Us,
yes,
right.
The world.
Right. So the beaver hat, was that a whole part of hunting and trapping in the 1800s? Did the beaver trade really come from hat making?
I think it was a huge part of it. Yeah. Beaver, I mean, back in before the, I don't know, 1940s. Maybe the 50s, everyone wore a hat every single day. So they say that the hat that was worn on the head was the most expensive article of clothing that a gentleman would wear, and that includes his custom three-piece suit. And so I'm sure that beaver fur and the fur trade was a huge the hats were a huge driver for the fur trade early on.
Darren, you weren't always a hatter.
No.
I think it's very interesting. Tell us a little bit about your background. I think you have, you've mentioned being a physical therapist.
Yeah.
But.
So yeah, I grew up in Billings and I am a musician probably first. I've been playing professionally. And when I say that, I just mean people pay me to play, whether it's a bar or, you know, a wedding or whatever, for about 25 years. And so as I went through school, I was always playing live music. So music was a huge, huge part of my life. And of course, you have your parents chirping in your ear, hey, maybe get a degree instead of just pursuing music. And so I did that. And so I studied at the University of Illinois in cellular biology. And then I went to grad school at the Mayo Clinic. And then that's where I got my doctorate in physical therapy. So it's not your typical path to becoming a hatter. Most definitely. I jokingly say, you know, just your typical career trajectory for a physical therapist.
I'm glad the hat business is good because, unfortunately, the music business is not so good.
I found that out, yeah.
I was at the VFW for the last dance on Sunday, and they used to have dancing there from 2 to 5 or 2 to 6. It is fabulous. They have a real country band, and they're not doing it anymore.
That's a shame.
It's hard to find a real country band anymore.
It really is. It really is.
Good thing you move into the hat business.
Yeah, yeah. It's been really great. It's been really great.
What about straw hats? Do you make straw hats, or is that something that really isn't worth investing in? And
kind of. Yeah, I mean, we don't do straw hats. We've always had at least a 2-month, you know, lead time for our felt hats. So we've never gone that route. And we haven't yet anyway. And the two guys I apprenticed with kind of just said, you know, it's one of those things, especially Montana. You know, if we were in Phoenix, Arizona, we would have to. But up here, we kind of get away with just doing felt.
Well, it's also a climate-driven thing.
Yes.
I spent a lot of time in South America and Mexico, and I've had I bought a hat in Ecuador that you could roll up into the size of a cigar. It was beautifully made with straw.
Yeah.
And I guess it's just sort of an environmental thing and a cultural thing.
Very much so, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, we get folks in the summer. It always happens in the summertime. People come in. But it's not. It's very much a seasonal thing and a cultural thing.
Yeah. Let's get back to hats here. Hmm. And the making of a hat. How should it fit?
It's really personal preference, but 90% of the hats we're making, it should fit like a glove. Nobody likes a tight hat, so we really try to avoid that.
With those little red bands.
Yeah, we don't like that. Yeah, we don't like that. But part of the reason we get that head shape measurement is so we can create that custom mold that's in the shape of their head so it slides on like a glove. And so that's how it should fit. Now, we've made hats for barrel racers, and they want it like a full size too small, because if they're wearing it in competition, apparently if it falls off, they get fined and disqualified. And so we made this barrel racer a hat, and she came in and we made it too small, which is so rare. Nobody likes a tight hat. She comes in, she puts it on, she just, you know, shoves it down on her head. And she said, it's got to be tighter. So I mean, we will remake that hat 10 times if we have to get it right.
Do they add 3 seconds to your time if your hat falls off?
You know, I told you I was a sidewalk cowboy, so I don't know all the rules, but she needed it tighter, so we made it smaller, and then she was very happy.
Pictures are like, I just realized all those barrel races have their hats way down.
Yeah, down. And that's the other thing. A true Western hat needs to have a higher crown so that they can shove it down on their head on a windy day, ride a horse without it blowing off.
And how come every bull rider's hat ends up in the arena?
That's a good, yeah. Hopefully they're wearing a helmet.
Well, that's
days.
Right. They've changed.
I think they
from
wear
hats
helmets now.
To
I don't
helmets
see too many hats, and you know, but yeah, they do.
Do you help people pick out a hat for their face, their shape? I mean, some people come in and think, oh, I'm going to want this, it's like wrong.
Yes, yeah, yeah, I want the Pierce Brosnan hat. Well, you don't look like Pierce Brosnan, you know, and I hate to break it to you, you put that hat on, you're still not going to look like Pierce Brosnan. Yeah, we do that all day long. You know, you really have to consider the face shape and personality. You know, some folks can, their personality can carry them and carry a more substantial hat. So it style, personality, head shape and face shape all come into account. We think about all of those things when we're designing something for someone.
Many years ago, I was on a movie, Missouri Breaks, ooh, with Jack Nicholson and Marlon Brando, and it was this whole Western thing. And I was a stand-in for a couple of the cowboys. And because I was from Montana, I knew better. Every hat was different. It was like so corny. Each one of the characters had a hat. And I thought like, eh-eh.
Yeah.
That isn't it.
Yeah.
There weren't as many choices or varieties.
Yeah. When once you know what a nice hat is, you watch some of those movies and you just cringe, you know. Now I do. So some of them are great, but
are the hats that you're making now similar to older styles, or has the whole TV movie Hollywood affected what people are wanting to wear?
I love traditional design when it comes to hat making. Now, when I first got into it, I really loved some of the trendy stuff that was happening. But the guys I learned from were such traditional cowboy hat makers. And so just through osmosis, I fell in love with the shaping, and because you can do so much more with it. So I would say that we really like to think of ourselves as classic designs that were great 50 years ago and also will be great 50 years from now. But we give a little modern twist to some of those traditional designs, for sure.
Let's talk a little bit about hat care, hat etiquette. When I introduce the show at the Alberta Bear Theater, the person that writes the script says, oh, and please take off your hat so the people behind you can see. And I look out in the audience and nobody's wearing a hat. Except when Lyle Lovett was there,
yeah.
Or, you know.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
What are some of the rules about when you wear your hat and when you take it off?
You know, I jokingly tell everybody it's the Wild West. You can do what you want. But I guess that's the new age-ness in me coming out, maybe. But, you're not supposed to touch somebody else's hat.
Oh, I know that.
You're not supposed to wear somebody else's hat. Yeah, I would say that my dad would say you should take it off when you walk in the door. Maybe take it off while you're eating a meal. I don't follow any of those rules, though. Mm-hmm. I just don't. Mm-hmm. I leave it on pretty much all the time. But
and when you hang up your hat or set your hat down, I know there's some pretty serious rules about that.
This is where I'm a stickler for sure, because it saves me a lot of work later. Yes, you should set it down upside down. On its crown. The old saying is you don't want your luck to fall out of the hat. You set it down so your luck stays in the hat. And you don't want to set it down on its brim, because even though they're nice and stiff and they hold their shape wonderfully, temperature, humidity changes, and gravity eventually will take the brim and do its thing with it.
Mm-hmm. So I have a couple of nice old felt hats. And as I age, I think I've gotten, I don't know, my head's changed a little bit.
Yeah.
Your brain keeps growing. How much can you steam a hat or fix a hat? I'm asking for my own personal.
For your own personal. This is okay. You can, about a size. About a size. You can stretch it out.
That's
about a size.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. Yeah, and it depends on, you know, it depends. But if you go too far, you start to see an indentation in the crown, because the stretcher is going to start to expose itself on the. And actually, you can see that with people's hats. If they've had to stretch it, you'll see a little line where the stretcher pushed out. But I'd say about a size. But with our hats, let's say 20 years down the road, your brain grows and we can gut the thing, reblock it, and resize it so that it's new, like new again.
I remember seeing Rich Rand on the street and, hey, Corby, how are you? And he very politely said, if you want to come in, I'll steam that hat for you.
I thought, like, he can't help himself.
Uh-oh. Yeah, yeah. I thought, what? Yeah.
It's just one of those things.
How often do you need to have your hat re-steamed? Or
it depends on how well you're taking care of it. Yeah. But if you're taking good care of it, not much. But if you left it on a dash on a 100-degree day and you went grocery shopping, came back outside, you probably need to see me again.
And hats also have good luck, bad luck stories with them.
Yeah, if you're having bad luck, you'd probably get rid of that hat.
Oh.
I would suggest it. If you're having good luck.
Where do you think the custom of never putting a hat on a bed came from.
On a bed?
Yeah.
I've never heard of this.
Oh,
you're teaching me something.
I knew that early on. And you'd like go to somebody's house or a party and you see somebody's hat in the bed and think, bad luck.
It's like whose bed have your boots been under type thing?
I think Jennifer might know.
I do. Oh. I do. Well, this is what I read, you know, and not online.
Yeah.
It goes back in time when maybe there were lice on the bed.
Ooh.
And so you didn't want to transfer those little beasts to your head.
That makes a lot of sense.
Could be.
That's the answer.
That is the answer. Nobody needs to look it up.
Depends on whose house you've been in, too. Or,
yeah.
Or like, don't go in that bedroom,
right.
I guess. Huh? So, Darren, we have had so much fun chatting with you. Is there some other things you want to tell us about the hat business?
You know, I can tell you that we love what we do. It truly is an art form. We think of what we do as wearable art. And it's such a privilege to be able to do this for a living. Seeing a person smile on their face when they finally find something that looks good on them, and they, you know, we hear it all the time. Oh, I don't look good in hats. I always say, well, you haven't found the right hat or the right fit quite yet. And so I would say if you like the idea of wearing a hat, but you've always thought you looked bad in one, try a custom hat. You know,
it's the same with cowboy boots. I had a pair of cowboy boots made in Livingston years ago. And I've re-heeled them 3 or 4 times. They're still my favorite boot, and they fit.
And they fit.
Right.
You will not wear a hat or boots if they don't fit.
Right. And if you have a great hat and it doesn't fit, you don't want to wear it, right?
Yeah, right. You don't. You just don't put it on. You don't.
Darren, thank you so much.
Thank you.
This interview reminds me of an old Lyle Lovett tune.
I don't care about that. You can have my girl, but don't touch my hat.
Terrific. Thank you so much.
You bet. Thank you.
Been listening to Resounds, Arts and Culture on the High Plains, produced by Corby Skinner, Jennifer Corning, and Ken Siebert for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music by Alex Nauman. Hear this program anytime online at ypradio.org.